All right, high five somebody and let them know you're glad they're here. I don't care. Find somebody. If you're watching online, high five the screen. I'm giving you some dap. Okay, now the person that you didn't choose, don't let them know that they're second best, but give them a fist bump and tell them you love them. It's a tough crowd. It's going to be tough today. We got to get fired up, y'all. There it is. I didn't give you a fist bump. I love you, whoever's online. I love everybody here. High five, fist bump. Zach got my back. We good. I left Alex hanging on the front row, too. My bad, dude. My bad. I just left you there. Hey, we say this. We've been trying to do something new, guys. So I don't know. How many of you have the Bible app online? Online or on your phone? Sorry. Online or on your phone? Well, hey, we've been doing this really cool thing. We've been trying to go out there because, hey, we want to make things as easy as possible to follow along. And here's what's really great about our team. They know sometimes I get scatterbrained. So to help us to be in the same place, if you've got the Bible app, we've got something to show you how you can be and watch online, see all the scripture that we do. We're going to have a video pop up here in a second. What you got to do is you go to your phone, you click on the Bible app, you'll click the three dots that say more, and what will happen is you will find an events tab that's there, and when you click that, you're going to see something that says the Sunday Worship Experience, the Vine Church. And in there, you're going to be able to follow along, see what the series is about. You're going to see where we stream our services on live.thevine.tv throughout the week. And you're also going to see the scripture that we're going to walk through. But more importantly, you can take your own personal notes, which is really, really cool. So it's just something new we're trying, so maybe if you would like to take advantage of that. I know last week we were in a couple different new books, so it was hard to keep up if you were in Daniel or Habakkuk. So to keep you on the same page with us every week, if you want to look on our Bible app, on the YouVersion app or the Bible app, what you can do is go there and we can get things squared away. So at the beginning of the message, we had some awesome worship. Didn't we have some awesome worship today, guys? Wasn't that fun? Okay, I heard some woos. I love it. So as I get things set up, I just want to tell you something that we talked about. This week we said that we were going to have an announcement of who we're helping and who we're investing in the community for the school year. So, you know, we just talked about how we're helping the YMCA and how God's blessed us through that and how God has just allowed us to just invest in the community through the Y. But we also know the school year is starting. And there are some students out there, that get love in school, they get mentored in school. I know we've got some teachers out here in the audience, some teachers watching online, some folks that do those things. And so what we believe, how we can help the community, is we have actually got a local school here, the Cleveland Leadership Academy. The Cleveland Leadership Academy is here near the Vine Church, and we're going to invest in the teachers there. And what I mean by that is over the next few weeks, we're just going to be taking an offering. And, you know, as a teacher, a lot of times what happens is if you are a teacher, you know, you probably buy a lot of your own supplies because there are a lot of students who can't afford supplies, right? And mom and dad can't always get those for them. So we, over the next few weeks, are going to try to be investing in the Cleveland Leadership Academy. We're going to try to present that to them the week after Labor Day, just so that we're all on the same page. So over this next month, we're just going to be collecting, and we as a church are going to be giving to those teachers. And we believe if we invest in them, we know that the next generation is going to be benefiting. So just to let you know, that was a special announcement we've been working on. We've been trying to partner with a couple of schools, and that is the one that we actually heard back from and the one that we were able to help. So God is faithful in that, and we believe he's brought us to the right school. So you know me, really quick, as you see, I'm pulling my phone out. I promise I'm not texting. What happens sometimes is, you know, technology and me aren't always the best friends, right? So right now I'm playing with my technology to get things rocking and rolling, but thank God we have a backup plan. So as I was getting ready for this, you know how to follow along on the Bible app. Last week we talked about demons. Wasn't that fun? Demons. Okay. Just saying. Demons, six letters. Just think about that. Demons. It was a little different. We didn't get to dive in on Thursday night. If you'll check our Facebook page, I'm actually going to record something and put that on our Facebook page for our Thursday night greenhouse so we can dive in deeper. Just FYI, if you want to check that, we'll make sure that we have that for you online. But this week, we're going to be talking about something that's a little different as well. The miracle of healing. The miracle of healing. And if I'm completely honest with you, and I'm putting all my cards out on the table, I know that God has a purpose with this. Like, there is a reason that this week we talked about healing. Because this week, I actually, yesterday as a matter of fact, I actually preached my uncle's funeral. I got to preach at my uncle's funeral. We got to celebrate his life. And it's really crazy how God lines things up. Because you may think that God doesn't have time and God doesn't have a purpose. And maybe you think things are by coincidence, and that's okay. That's okay. Maybe this is by coincidence, you think. But I want to tell you, we prayed for some healing this week. So how many folks have ever prayed for healing in their life? Maybe it was physically, financially. Maybe it was spiritually, relationally. You know, maybe it was technologically you prayed for some healing. But somewhere along the way, you probably prayed for healing in your life. And how many of us have prayed those prayers and not seen them come true? I would say probably a lot of us have been in that boat, right? And so today, that's kind of what I want to dive in, and that's kind of what I want us to talk about, is because here's the toughest tension we have as Christians. What happens when we pray for healing? It doesn't seem like it took it's going to take place. Like, it doesn't seem like our prayer is going to be answered. But you can hear a pin drop in here because it's real. It's the tension we manage, right? Because when someone's on their deathbed, who do you usually call? Someone who knows Jesus, right? You want them to pray with them, right? Because you want to pray for healing. And here's what I want to tell you. Like I said, it's no coincidence. Is this past week, today I'm just going to be real with you. It's going to be really vulnerable. You're going to hear some things about me. You're going to probably laugh a lot because that's how I roll. I got to preach my uncle's funeral, and it was the biggest privilege and the biggest honor in the world to do that. It was, and it's no coincidence that the week we've talked about healing that happened, but let me tell you about my uncle. If you know anything about me and my sense of humor, I have it from him. Like, if you really know me, like, I probably make you laugh here, but some of those hardcore, like, punch you in the gut jokes, yeah, it'll be probably in the lobby that you catch me doing those, but I'm going to give you real truth, but I'm going to make you laugh regardless of the circumstance. And I want to tell you, like, one of the things I love about my uncle is he was literally the last brother alive that was part of my father. Like, I didn't get to know my father growing up because he was killed by a drunk driver when I was two. And so I got to learn a lot about my father through my uncle. And most of what I learned about my father through my uncle was, we didn't talk about my dad a lot, but we laughed a heck of a lot. So I know my dad had a sense of humor. And somehow, by God's grace, it's been passed to me, hopefully. I'm not getting any tomatoes thrown at me, so we're good. So we know there's no gongs clanking. So we know that my humor gets there. But here's where I'm getting at. I got to go to the hospital late Wednesday night, and we prayed for some healing. And the world would have told me yesterday that my prayer didn't work. And if I was stuck in the world, I would say, but God, I fasted. God, I prayed. God, I did the right things. Like, I said the prayer the right way. Like, I'm giving you the glory. Like, I'm doing all these things. Why didn't you come through? But because of Jesus, I can know that my uncle was healed. I can know that God came through, because right now he's not suffering. He's not in pain. He knows who Jesus is, and he's actually getting to celebrate with my dad. He's getting to celebrate with his wife who passed 13 years ago to the day. How crazy is that if you think God doesn't have timing? 13 years ago to the day. He got to celebrate with his daughter. He's got to celebrate with his mother, which is my grandma. He's got to celebrate with, like I said, my dad. He's got to celebrate with his other brother that's there. So, like, I want to tell you right now, maybe that's where you're stuck, is you're in this cycle and you're saying, but God, I fasted. God, I prayed. God, I asked for you for healing. Maybe a lot of times it could be an addiction that you've been praying for healing from, and it's just not happening. And so it can leave you asking, God, are you mad at me for some reason? Anybody been there? It's usually when it's our prayer for healing, right? Especially when it comes to relationships or physical things. We say, God, I've been begging you for that six-pack abs for a long time. I know I ate 12 bags of Doritos, but, I mean, you know, it's just got to work out, right? Like, you're a miracle worker, right? Like, you're supposed to help me out with that, right? Or God, I've been trying to get these jeans on, and I've been sucking it in trying to get there, right? Or maybe, God, I've been praying for you to fix that car for a long time. It ain't fixed itself. It didn't fix itself, right? Like, we've prayed for some healing, but then it didn't happen. And so I want us to balance that tension today. And so what we're going to walk through is today the miracle of healing and how to experience it. Psalm 147:3 says it like this, and it's something that I've got to hang into and hang around more than I want to say over these past few days. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. See, David is talking about Jesus here. David is saying he heals the brokenhearted. Well, to be brokenhearted, it first means you've got a heart. And it first means that you feel. And it means that there's something that can complete you. Not Jerry Maguire, but there's something for real that can complete you. And his name is Jesus. And he binds up their wounds. You know, the hardest thing in the world is to walk through life wounded. I don't know about you, but it is, isn't it? It's one of the hardest things in the world. And sometimes we forget the only one who can bind it. And that's Jesus. And so today, as we're talking about that miracle of healing, I want you to have that perspective, because we're going to dive into this story that I think is awesome, okay? So if you got your Bible, where I want you to be, or you have your handy-dandy Bible app, shameless promo, I want you to be is 1 Samuel 6. 1 Samuel 6. And if you know anything about me, and you think of me talking about a miracle of healing, you probably think of a few stories that Tyler would talk about when he talks about healing. Probably somewhere in Elisha. You think I'll be talking about Elisha. So 2 Kings somewhere, you think I'd probably be there. Or somewhere where maybe Elijah, I might do something there. Or quite obviously Jesus, like right, like he would be talking about miracles, right, from Jesus in the New Testament. But when I came across this, I just knew God wanted me to share it today. So 1 Samuel 1, I said chapter 6, what a crazy man. 1 Samuel 1, flip back a few pages. I told you, that's why you got to have the Bible app, y'all. I'm all over the place right now. 1 Samuel 1, we're going to start in verse 6. I think I had the production, I had a creative team freaking out for a minute probably because I had the wrong thing up there, so that's awesome. 1 Samuel 1, verse 6 says this, and this is talking about Hannah, and I think that maybe some of us feel this way right now. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. The Lord had closed Hannah's womb. Now here's the thing. Does it say Hannah did anything for God to close her womb? Did it say that she was disobedient? Did it say that she didn't pray the right way? Did it say that she did something wrong? Maybe she had too much dessert? Tore up too many all-you-can-eat buffets? Did it say that she did anything? Did it say she wore her hair the wrong way? She didn't wear the right type of dress? Did it say that she was disobedient to the Lord in any way? I'm seeing no's. And if you're asking online, I hope you're screaming no at me, because that's the answer. No. But the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. Her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Her Twitter friends had tore up her feed, right? This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. So you mean somebody at church would make you feel bad about yourself? No, that's not possible. Tough crowd, they're small ass. But really, that happens. And this is what I love about the Vine Church is we want to be a place where you can be okay not being okay, where you can come in here in whatever condition you're in, brokenhearted, needing your wounds bound up, because we know who can do that, and that's Christ alone. And we look at this and we see that right now, that's where Hannah was. She went to church. She sat in the pews. She sang the songs. She knew the words to the songs. I bet she could memorize some scripture, and she knew how to pray. She was even probably so strong. She was so strong. She knew what color the carpet and the candles needed to be for the season. She had the nice wreath out on the front door at the front of the church and knew how to put it on there and decorate it correctly. Like, she had it all right. She had it all figured out, but yet God had closed her womb. So how crazy is that? Maybe your closed womb right now is finances or your relationships or children, career, family, health, rest. Isn't it funny how those get magnified? Like, I was writing this down, like, isn't it funny how those get magnified? And when somebody pokes the bear, like, you're just, rah, like, you know, like, you're just full bore, ready to go. Like, right, like, does a bear, you're like, you're not the sweet Charmin bear. You're mad, right? Like, you're ready to go, right? Like, when I read this, I was like, man, like, you talk about Mean Girls? Like, this is the movie Mean Girls, right? Like, and I probably shouldn't know that, and you're probably judging me, and that's cool, too. Don't worry about it. But, like, isn't that what this is? This woman is hurting. Her womb is closed, and somebody's like, ha-ha! Like, you know, they're just making fun of her, so much so that she's weeping. She doesn't even want to live. She doesn't eat. You know, if we're honest, there's probably some of us who feel that way right now. Whether it is in finances, whether it is in relationships, whether it's health, rest, whether it's career or family, maybe we're stuck there. But here's what I want you to know. When God gets involved and Jesus is in the picture, there's some crazy awesome things that happen. Let's go on to verse 9. Once they had finished eating, So Hannah's not ate. They finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Hannah stands up from the table. Now Eli the priest was sitting in a chair at the doorpost of the house of the Lord. So she's in God's house. If you got a Bible, these are some things I highlighted. I'm not telling you to, but whatever the Spirit's telling you to go through, feel free to underline your Bible. You can highlight it on the Bible app. But these are some things that stuck out as we keep going. In her deep anguish. Not just anguish, deep anguish. In her brokenness, in her hurt, and in her brokenness, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. How many folks can say they've been there or know someone that's been there? Weeping, going to the Lord. This isn't just I'm looking to get noticed prayer. This is like, God, there's nothing else that can fix this but you. Hannah prays to the Lord. She makes a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, and this is what's huge to me, give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all of the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head. Just a little shameless plug here. We'll talk about the Nazarites here on Thursday night. Come hang out with us and we'll dive into what that means and what this no razor on the head means and what that's pointing to. So my question for each and every one of us is, have we ever been there? We ever lost all sense of control? Never lost all sense of control? We ever been so deep in our anguish? We know that only Jesus can fix this. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never followed him. Maybe you followed him for 20 years, 20 minutes, 2 minutes. You're not quite sure he's only available on Easter and Christmas, whatever that is for you. Maybe you just know there's something greater that has to be involved. And here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I want to tell you. If you're taking notes and you're taking a point, the first way to experience healing is this. Admit I'm not in control. Admit I'm not in control. You see, what I love about Hannah's prayer is I don't see her angry at God that her womb was closed. I don't see her blaming God. I don't see her saying, God, you made me this way. I do that sometimes with the Lord. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm just going to be real with you. I'm putting all my cards on the table. I do that sometimes. Lord, why did you make me this way? Right? Like, why am I this way? Like, what the heck is happening? And then, like, Lady Gaga comes on, and it's crazy, and the world works out. But, like, I ask God, I'll be like, why did it make me this way? But I look at Hannah's faith. I look at where she is, and she's not saying, God, why did you make me this way? She just says, hey, God, if you'll remember me, whatever you give me, I'm going to give right back to you. And what I love about the Vine Church is that's how we are. The sowers at the Vine Church say, hey, God, whatever you put in our hands, we're not trying to save the most amount of money. We're trying to be kingdom-minded and give the most away. Because in the end, it's not about how much is in the bank account. It's about how many lives can be impacted. Because there are so many people that have closed doors, closed wounds in their life that they can experience blessing, that sometimes God just brings people alongside them to be a part of doing that. And a lot of times, the healing that takes place for people when that happens is just somebody saying, hey, I see you. I know what you're walking through. And I'm here with you step by step. I'm not the answer, but Jesus is. So let's walk through this together. And what I love about where Hannah's there is she's admitting she's not in control. So here's what I want to tell you about when it comes to admission. I wrote this down. I'm laughing because it's really funny to me. Admission doesn't mean have you ever seen like siblings fight? How many folks have siblings, right? Or you have kids who are siblings, right? And you fight. And what's the first thing that mom or dad tells you you got to do? No, not hit them back. God, y'all are violent. I'm just kidding. Nobody listens. I saw what you were thinking. I'm sorry, okay. I'm not talking about that kind of admission, because that's just saying it. I'm saying, like, Hannah wasn't just admitting it with her mouth. She was actually acting out this admission that I'm not in control. Like, she's literally submitting herself, saying, God, I know I'm not in control. Please remember me. Please remember me as your servant. And what I wrote down, and it made me think, and maybe this is where you are, is a lot of times when I understand that, my expectation of myself and those around me is probably lower, because I know Jesus is in them, and my experience is so much better. So I'm going to say that one more time. When I admit I'm not in control, and I know Jesus is in control, my expectation for the outcome is completely different. Because it's not about the prayer that I prayed, it's about the one who I'm praying to. It's not about the saving of the person that I'm praying about, it's literally about the Savior. It's not about who is going, it's not about the healing itself, it's actually the healer, it's the person that I'm praying to. And when my expectation is changed, man, doesn't that change your experience? Like, when I'm not in control, like when I think of sports and I'm not in control and I already know the score is one, I already know what the score is, don't I play better? Like, if you knew that your bank was always going to have money in it, your bank account, wouldn't you be okay with that? Wouldn't you spend better? Wouldn't your experience when you go out be so much better than it was than before? And yet, so many times, our expectation is, God, there ain't but half a mil in the bank. Which, by the way, if that's you, holla at your boy. We can do some things. There ain't but this much money in the bank. There ain't but that much money in the bank. It's not, oh my goodness, you've given me this much money in the bank, God. How thankful. What is it you want me to do with it? That's what Hannah's saying by admitting she's not in control. And I look in my life, and so many times in my life, I'll be like, God, you gave me this podium. It ain't good enough. It's a little wobbly. We got to fix it. Maybe I can go find one online that's real cheap. It's only $1,000, right? Maybe there's one online, or maybe we can go do this a little better. Not thank you for this. How can I use it for your glory? And so when I understand I'm not in control, and I'm like, well, God's going to hold this thing up. If it falls, y'all laugh really hard. It's okay. God's going to hold this thing up. Now my expectation and my experience of using this stand is completely different, isn't it? My expectation is, wow, I have a stand that I can put some technology on, that I can share what God's given me to share with on. Man, my experience is so much better. This stand is multifaceted. It's got pockets. I can slide things in and out of it. I can even have multiple pieces of technology up here. Isn't that cool? Like, my experience completely changes. I wonder if maybe if you're praying for healing right now, you would understand that your expectation and your experience will change when you admit that you're not in control. Because here's the thing about being in control. I thank God that I'm not in control. Because, man, if I was, if you think we screwed up now, wow, Jesus, we'd be so much screwed up. We would be so much more screwed up if it was only me that is in control. So if that's you, I just want to ask you, are you more worried about the results or who holds the result? Because I want to tell you, the game's already won. Trust in Jesus. So now the thing is, when I admit I'm not in control, does that mean that just because I admit it that I'm going to get what I want? Like, you know, when you're fighting with your sibling and you really want, for me it was the Super Nintendo game or whatever that is for you. Whatever that was for you, I'm dating myself, I know. Not really dating myself, but aging myself, whatever. We'll get there. Not just saying I'm sorry to get something from Toys R Us. It's closed down, so we're good, I can say that. Not just saying I'm sorry to get something, but really admitting, God, I'm not in control. And watch what he does with it. Imagine the healing you can experience when you do that. That's what I've got to walk through this week, is knowing I'm not in control. I'm not in control of my uncle's situation. I'm not in control with whether he's healed or not, but I know who is, and he alone will bring me peace. Not my uncle, not the doctors, not the hospital, but Jesus. And Jesus alone can bring me peace. And so I can rely on that. And so for me, what I had put down is, I wonder how many times for me I put, hey man, when I'm losing control, what does that mean? Does that mean like, hey, all of a sudden I pray to lose weight and do nothing about it? Does that mean I'm going to lose weight? Absolutely not. I mean, I guess I could, but that'd be sad. That'd be kind of weird. If I said, if I lost like 100 pounds and you went to the all-you-can-eat buffet with me and I tore it up, you probably wouldn't know my secret. I would too, probably tapeworm. I don't know. That'd be kind of weird. But I'm right here, and I said, hey, man, does it mean like where we are, that control is something that we struggle with the most. Well, being a type A person, I want to tell you, one of the hardest lessons for me outside of this past week, as I was preparing, I told you, God's got some crazy things going, that I learned about saying I'm not in control is this. How many folks have ever had kidney stones in their life? I would not wish that upon anyone. But I have them all the time. I'm going to be real with you. And the first time I had kidney stones, I remember feeling I'm not in control. Like, there was nothing I could do. Like, I was in this immense pain. And if you know me, like, I'm not a big pill person. The only thing I'll pill up on is allergy meds left and right. I will tear that up because your boy has to. But, like, I'm not big on pills all the time. Maybe I'll take a multivitamin. But when it comes to pain, I'm not. But, like, in this moment, there was nothing I could do. And so I remember going to the hospital, and I remember they're going to fix me. Like, they're going to fix me. Like, this kidney stone is going to be gone. Like, I'm going to walk in, and an hour later, I'm going to walk out a brand new man. Nope. I went home. I worked the next day. Even though my boss told me I was crazy, I remember working the next day. I remember going through, and I'm like, will this stone ever pass? Like, oh, my goodness. And then I found out at work. It passed. It was good. But it did pass the first time. And then I decided to have round two later at home. I mean, it just happened. And I continue to have those. And the things I learned about control in my life is, even though I had immense pain, once it passed, praise God, I was happy. But I realized I wasn't in control. Like, there was nothing I could do. And maybe that's where we're weighed down today, is we're trying to hang on to that kidney stone. We're trying to hang on to when it happens. We're trying to hang on to when our finances turn around, hang on to when our relationships turn around, hang on to when everything in our life will turn around, our career. Whatever it is, maybe we're trying to hang on to it, and we just need to let it go and say, hey, I know I'm not in control. Jesus, I'm fine passing it at my house. Just don't let it be on the freeway, because that's going to be a big wreck, because that's going to be a problem, right? Don't let it happen at a Waffle House. Please, Jesus, like, whatever that is, don't let it happen there, right? That was my first lesson, really, in control as an adult, because it happened as an adult, right? Now, there are many other stories I could tell you there, but I just think that sometimes maybe that's where we are. Continuing on the story. I see some folks out here getting tomatoes ready. So we're going to continue on in 1 Samuel 1, chapter, verse 12. I promise I won't go an hour and a half this week. I'm going to work on it. So as she kept praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Christian, pay attention to this. If you know Jesus, pay attention to this. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And this is what can happen to us so many times if we have a relationship with Jesus or we're caught in religion. What does Eli say here? He looked at her mouth. He didn't realize she was praying in her heart, and he thought she was drunk. Christians, so many times if we think we have control of people and situations and we see that somebody's praying in their heart but we only examine them from the outside, we're missing the point, because they can't experience healing and you definitely can't be a part of their healing if you're judging them by their outward appearance than what's actually happening inside of them. And yet so many times we do it. And that's where Eli was. And he said to her to this, how long are you going to stay drunk, girl? He didn't say girl, I just threw that in there. Put away your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. She dropped it on him. I have not been drinking wine or beer like her hair. She was going, that head was going. I could tell right now that head was going. There was a finger out. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Church, may we always look at the heart first. Because the outward appearance will always tell a different story. Sometimes the folks that seem like they're the most together are the most broken. I can tell you in my life, I can be that way. Sometimes the folks that look the most disheveled and look like they don't have it together actually got it together more than everybody else. But church, we should always look at the heart. The heart. The heart is what matters. Not the outward appearance. Not what somebody's saying with their mouth. And Eli got stuck there. And I love right here where Hannah is talking about this. Like, I look at how she answered Eli in a nice way, and I love that. She wasn't talking about what she's put into herself. She's talked about what she's poured out of herself. And if we're looking for healing in our life, it's not about what we put in, but what we pour out. She said, look, I have poured out my soul to the Lord, all that I am. Not just the good, not just the pleasantries, not just the bad either. Were you mad at the Lord, like you're shaking your fist at him, like you're ready to go. Not just that, like I've poured my soul out to the Lord. I wonder if we're searching for healing. Have we really poured our soul out to the Lord? Or have we just scratched the surface? I wonder if we've just said, God, if you'll just take care of this one thing, it'll take care of all the other seven things in my life. Or if we just said, Jesus, I'm not in control. I can't do any of this without you. I desperately need you to make this work. Because that's where Hannah is. She drops that out there. Sometimes I want you to know, you're taking notes, there is no sometimes. The second way to experience healing is ask God for help. First thing we got to do is admit we're not in control. Second thing is ask God for help if we want to experience healing. Admit we're not in control, ask God for help. Ask God for help. Many times, when we're searching for healing, the answer is just to keep seeking Jesus. It's to keep praying. I could have prayed that kidney stone all day long would come out at that hour and at that minute. And if it didn't, trust me, I went back to the Lord in prayer and said, dear Jesus, let's get this thing out. So many times where we're wanting to experience healing, we got to understand, we got to keep going to the Lord. And more importantly, pouring our soul out and not worry what others think about it. Because Eli said, you drunk. You're drunk. The pastor of the church said, you're crazy. Think about that. He stood at the doorpost and told her, you're drunk. Stop being drunk. Don't worry about it. And what I love about Hannah, and I said that head was bobbing, and she said, hey, you don't know me. I'm not drunk. I just poured my heart out, and I poured everything out of my soul to the Lord because I'm looking for healing. So I want you to know sometimes you just got to ask God for help. And oftentimes, what I think this has taught me is this, is as I get to learn this pastor thing and learn to be a better follower of Christ, is so many times in our life, we'll go to our pastor, we'll go to our religious leader and expect him to solve our problems or expect her to solve our problems. And that's not what Jesus made us for. Jesus made the pastor and the leaders of the church, him and her, to walk step by step with you, to point you closer to Jesus. That's it. And yet that's what I think we can get stuck in inside the church when we're searching for a miracle of healing. Like I got to experience it this week and I wouldn't have traded it for the world. I got to be there with my family. I got to walk step by step through this tough time. And we're still walking through it. If I'm completely honest with you, we're still getting to walk through it. But I want to tell you, what I love about my family is they weren't expecting me to heal my uncle. They weren't expecting me to pray the right prayer and all of a sudden he jumped up out of that bed and God went and did his thing. They just knew I was there with them. And we just kept pointing to Jesus the whole time. And so many times as we get there, I just want you to know, sometimes we hold pastors and leaders in the church in high regard, which is awesome. And it's a privilege and an honor for that to happen. But don't seek them to be the answer to your problem. Seek Jesus to be the answer to your problem. And let them walk step by step with you through that, whatever next step you have. Maybe it's accountability. If you're struggling with addiction, maybe that pastor can help you with accountability. Absolutely, walk step by step with them through that. But don't expect them to solve your problem because you're just setting yourself up for a letdown. Because they're just going to say, you drunk. I think of like Fred Sanford. Lamont, you crazy. Like, I just think that. Like, that whole time, right? Like, it's just, you drunk. Like, I just see that. This is the big one. Like, you know, that's what we expect. We expect our pastor to solve it. Don't expect man to solve it. Because man, if I'm completely honest, church, where I told you we have to see each other's hearts, the only way that I can see your heart and you can see my heart is if I'm connected with Jesus. Because he's the only one that can reveal the heart. We say that out of the heart, the mouth speaks, absolutely. But sometimes it's really easy to hold back what comes out of that mouth from the heart. I'm just going to be real with you. It is. And sometimes it's easy to hold back the hurt, ain't it? But if we really want to see somebody see our hurt, we just got to talk to Jesus about it. And talk to those that we trust, but don't expect those we trust to solve the problem. Jesus will. So I just want to challenge you with that is, if you're searching for healing today, admit you're not in control. Ask God for help. Because here's the thing. We know where our help comes from. We absolutely do. I mean, it comes from the Lord, right? But yet, here's where I know we can get discouraged. We prayed for mercy. It's a song. I'm gonna give you the lyrics. We pray for mercy. We pray for healing. And all along, right? From each helpless plea, we miss the blessing. And what if it is in rainbows? What if it is through tears? What if the blessing is, we got to talk this past weekend, our family's together. We don't get to get together often, but our family being together through this is what's so important. What if the blessing does come through tears? What if that's what it's about? And the thing is, we can get discouraged, and that's where we can fall back and start trying to take control of our life again. Maybe we prayed to lose weight, we jumped on the scales, and we did all the right things. We went to the gym, we ate clean, we ran 20 miles a day, we ran whatever it was, we ate salad, we did the right things, and then all of a sudden we jumped on the scale and we only lost 5 pounds. Okay, that's exciting, I lost 5 pounds. And then I get on the scale the next week and I gained a pound. I just did the same thing. And then I get on the scale the next week, and I'm the same weight. What in the world? And then I get on the scale the next week, and I keep doing it, and I keep doing it, and nothing changes. And what ends up happening? Forget it. I'll have a hot and ready large pepperoni, Little Caesars, right? Right? We just say, forget it. And it's easy to get discouraged and backslide. But what I want to tell you is sometimes you just got to keep going to God. Admit you're not in control. Continue to ask God for help. That's when you need to press the gas to lean into God even more. And maybe that's where you are. And what I thought about with this is, was just really crazy when you ask God for help. How many folks have ever been to a city they don't know directions in? How many folks live in Spartanburg their whole life and still don't know directions? Anyway, so that being said, if you've ever been in a new city, one of the best ways to find your way around is, right, ask the least scary person where to go, right? Isn't that normally what you do? The least scary person. And it's usually someone elderly, I'm sorry, but like they're sweet, they look like grandma, and sometimes that can be really mean. Or it just looks like the person who's dressed the nicest, right? Like just someone who's the least scary. And I heard a joke one time, and it went like this: whenever you're asking directions, somebody pulled up, and a man stopped, and he said, well, here's how you get there. You take a left at the next street, and at the next street, take another left. And at the next street, you take another left. And when you get back here, ask somebody else, because I don't know where you're going. Right? Like, can't we get stuck there when we're asking for help? Like, we got to know where we go. What I'm getting at is, we got to know who we're going to for help. Sometimes we go to man for help, and we shouldn't. We should always go to Jesus, because here's what happens when we go to Jesus is, when we ask the right one for help, the celebration is great because we got there on time, we're not stressed, we may not look disheveled, we got time to put ourselves together before we walk in the door because we know what we're doing, we know where we're going. So maybe that's where you are, is you're stuck in asking God for help. I wonder, on this last thing, I wonder how different our lives would look when we look for healing as well, and we're asking God for help, if we would stop looking at Jesus like a genie and start treating him like our Savior. What I mean by that is, it's easy to ask for directions and then him to clearly give it to you. The hardest thing is following through with it, isn't it? It's sometimes, ooh, Daddy needs to win the lottery, right? Like, you know, you rub that genie in the bottle. Oh, dear God, let him have macaroni and cheese. You know, like, you're rubbing that genie in the bottle. Oh, God, I need healing in this area. But there's something that's greater than healing in that area. It's getting to know the Savior better. And I wonder if we would do that and stop treating Jesus like this. Because when we treat Jesus like this, what's our answer to everybody else's problem? It's the right answer. Go to Jesus. But then the follow-up to that is, well, if you'll just go to Jesus, he'll fix it. He will, but not the way you want them to fix it. They may still look like a hot mess when they go meet Jesus, and that's totally fine. But your expectation of them may be that they can't look like a hot mess when they go to Jesus, and all of a sudden their relationship with Christ is a stumbling block because you haven't gone to the right person for help. So you seek Jesus and how they can seek Jesus, and all of a sudden you're both seeking Jesus, and he's that third cord, that third strand, and that bond won't be easily broken. So I want you and I to know, when we ask God for help, stop treating him like a genie in a bottle and treat him like a Savior. Because when I see that he's my Savior, it ain't hard for me to ask much, because there ain't much more I can ask for, because he's already given me life. Everything in this world is death. There ain't nothing in this world that can give me that's important that Jesus can't already give me, because he has given me life. So my prayer is a lot different. My expectation is a lot different, and my experience in this life can be a lot different. Let's finish up the story. 1 Samuel 1, 18 through 20 says this. Hannah goes on. It talks about what happens. She gets pregnant, in the end. She says this. She says, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way, and the girl ate something. Praise God, she finally ate something. She left the house of the Lord. She went to Ways and got her something to eat. Praise God. And her face was no longer downcast. If I ate something, I wouldn't be downcast either, would you? Right? She ate something. Her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose. And if you're taking notes, this is what's important to me, and I think that I love. This is what God spoke to me. He may not be speaking this to you, but I just want you to seek him to see what he says. But when they got up early in the morning, they worshiped the Lord. And Hannah admitted she wasn't in control. She asked God for help, but look, she worshiped the Lord. She worshiped the Lord, then went back to her home at Ramah. Elkanah, which is her husband, let me make that clear, made love to his wife, Hannah. My favorite thing here. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, I don't want you to ever forget these words. And the Lord remembered her. I want you to know that the Lord's remembering you. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know where your struggles are. I don't know what you're going through. But I want you to know the Lord remembers you. And through all this, he's made a way. He has absolutely made a way. The next thing that I love is it says, so in the course of time. So you would expect Hannah got pregnant right away, right? She ate something. They went home. Like, she had an anniversary. They went home. They did what married couples do. And then she got pregnant. See, it doesn't say that. She didn't treat God like a genie. It says, in the course of time. What if that course of time was 10 years? What if that course of time was 20 years? What if it was a long, long time? In the course of time, she experienced this healing. Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I ask the Lord for him. She got to experience peace for the first time. So if you're taking notes, this is the last thing you got to do to experience healing. Got to admit you're not in control. So admit I'm not in control. Ask God for help. And third, accept God's will. Sounds real easy. All these steps sound easy, but I'm going to tell you, it's the hardest thing in the world for me to do. That first one's the hardest thing in the world for me to do. Admit I'm not in control, ask God for help, and accept God's will. And then we'll finish out in Samuel in just a second. That's my fault. Kind of got you backtracked there in the back. She got to experience peace for the first time. I wonder if Hannah walked out of that place, and I wonder how many times in the course of time she said, God's forgot me. God's given up on me. I can't get pregnant. We're still going through the same things. I wonder how many times when she went to church, her rival provoked her. Her rival talked trash to her all the time. Her rival, I mean, she was getting ready, I bet. Hannah was like, I know God's going to come through. I know God's going to come through for me. I would have put my little face paint on. And I'm like, we're going to war. Like, okay, I done had enough of this. It's time, right? Like, it's time, right? But Hannah didn't. She continued on. In the course of time, she said, I know that God's going to do it. But here's what I love that she did. Before she had that peace, she ate. But before she became pregnant and before she experienced healing, she worshiped the Lord. How many of us have worshiped the Lord? I know today we have worship before every message. I know today we set things up and we'll have worship here at the end. But I wonder on Monday morning at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, or maybe you work third shift and so you're up at 8 o'clock at night, whatever that looks like for you. I wonder how many of us, when you get up, would worship the Lord, no matter what he does that day. That's where Hannah was. Before she ever became pregnant, she worshiped the Lord. And when she worshiped the Lord, all of a sudden her blessing came and the Lord remembered her. Remembered her. I wonder if so many times we need to experience healing if we would just worship the Lord. The story ends this way. 1 Samuel 1, 26 through 28. 1 Samuel 1, 26 through 28. And she said to him, she's talking to Eli at the house of the Lord again. Pardon me, my Lord. As surely as you live, I'm the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. And this is what I love. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Eli, the pastor, worshiped the Lord there. For me, it'd be really easy to pray for God to move and give healing and then hold on to control of it, right? She asked God for a son. He gave her a son. Maybe you're asking God for financial healing, relational healing, whatever that is in your life, or maybe it's rest or career or family. I don't know. Maybe it is children yourself. Maybe you're asking God for that. But my question is, if God gave it to you, would you be willing to give it right back to him? Because that's exactly what Hannah did. Let me tell you about this guy before we move on. This guy that she gave back to the Lord, his name is Samuel. So if you've grown up in church, you've heard of him. There's a book named after him, actually two of them that we're reading out of one of them right there. But Samuel is the last prophet before the kings took over Israel. Samuel anointed Saul as the first king of Israel. Samuel is the guy who anointed David. We've talked about him. Remember, he's the eighth brother in line. Like, Samuel goes through and anoints seven other brothers, and then David is the eighth, right? Like, all of a sudden, Samuel, this thing that God gave Hannah, she gave right back to the Lord. And here's the thing. She weaned him off. The little verses we had in between there, she said, when this child is weaned, we'll go to the house of the Lord, and I'm laying him there at the Lord's feet. Now, if you lay a child at the feet of this altar today, there might be some issues, because that means going home with me and there's no telling what's going to happen. I'm just going to let you know. Bless its heart. That's all I'm going to say. And bless my heart. But Hannah was willing to lay down this healing at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of God. She was willing to take this blessing, this thing that she had prayed so much for, and put it at God's feet. That, to me, is the most beautiful thing in the world. Because it would have been easy for her to hang on to it and said, oh man, I've got my baby. This is awesome. Oh man, I've got the career I've always wanted. Oh man, I've got this. I've got all that I've always wanted. It's finally here, and I just can't wait to just experience it. But instead, she gave it back to God. I wonder how many of us that are looking for healing might have already experienced the healing, but we're trying to hold on to it instead of giving it back to God. I wonder if we could do that. I wonder if we could truly accept God's will. Because she said his whole life. This to me is a picture of a life lived. Samuel's life started with the worship of God and his calling. And his calling started with the worship of God. See, I believe God can, and I believe God will. But if he doesn't, that's okay. I believe God can, and I believe God will. But if he doesn't, that's okay. And as we're about to do a verse here in just a few minutes, we'll have our last song and all that. So it's just a few minutes. Hang in here with me. I'm just going to talk to you about me. You know, I told you about this crazy. I told you how God had planned some things out. I knew I was going to be sharing this story all the way through. And then what happened with my uncle was even crazier in God's time, with my Uncle Morris. The story I wanted to tell you about the healing I prayed for in my life wasn't the kidney stone, believe it or not. It was of my Papa Joe. So let me tell you, I grew up without my father. My father was killed by a drunk driver when I was two, as I mentioned earlier. And I grew up without my dad. I had some men in my life that were strong men. But I also had my grandfather in my life till I was in sixth grade. And I remember, and some folks may or may not remember this, and I've probably not shared this much with anyone, but I remember probably right after my birthday, I used to stay with my grandma and grandpa a lot of times when my mom was at work. And I remember my granddad sitting in his recliner and looking at me and said, son, I won't be here at Thanksgiving. And I just remember telling him how wrong he was. You gonna be here. You a fighter, Papa Joe. You got this. You're not going anywhere. You can't leave me. This is crazy. I'm in sixth grade. You got it all together. We gonna pray about it. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. Well, about Thanksgiving, in November that same year, my grandfather passed away. And my Papa Joe went to heaven. I can remember praying for healing. I can remember when he was in ICU going day after day after day and seeing him get worse and worse and worse and begging God for healing and knowing I wasn't in control and knowing, hey, God, you got to fix him. Like, God, there's nobody else. You've got to fix him. Like, I already don't have my dad. Like, you're going to take my papa? Like, this is crazy. You can't do this. Like, I need him in my life. Like, I need him. Heal him. Heal him. God, heal him. If you're the God who you say you are, heal him. I know you've saved me. Let's go. Heal him. And I remember that. And I remember when my granddad passed away, how much I struggled with him passing. Because I thought God was mad at me. I thought I had done something wrong. I thought that healing didn't come because I didn't pray the right way. As you can tell, I grew up religious. I thought healing didn't come because my family didn't do something right. He didn't do something right. There was something going on why he didn't get healed. And I was having a hard time with that. So much so, I mean, I remember having to go to grief counseling. I remember having to walk through those doors. Like, I couldn't understand what in the world was going on. Why didn't you heal my granddad? Why didn't you heal my Papa Joe? And as I've gotten older and as I've gotten to learn things in life, I see that it was right. I wouldn't be standing here if my Papa Joe was alive. I wouldn't be standing here if my daddy was alive. I can't promise you what God had in store for me. He knew and he made me for this, but I can tell you this is where I am right now. But when I accepted God's will that my Papa Joe had to die, which is what grief counseling brought me through, it helped me experience a much better life, and my expectations of who God is actually grew as to be a greater Savior than he is a healer. And all of a sudden in my life, I was able to understand why God spoke through my Papa Joe that day and said, "Son, I'm not going to be here at Thanksgiving." And when I look back on that, I realize how much healing I had, because when I look back over those 6 months, I probably learned more from my Papa Joe than I did my whole life. I mean, he spent his last few months doing everything he could to show me everything he could. Like, I'm talking like he did everything he could to try to show me everything he could. And so many times in my life, we don't get excited about that, or we don't realize that experience when it's happening. But there's purpose to it. And now looking back, I can see it. So now as I got to preach my Uncle Morris's funeral and I got to walk through that, my expectation of this healing and this prayer was completely different than it was when my Papa Joe passed away. Completely different. All of a sudden, my experience in it was one where I got to be there with my family through it, as opposed to running to the hospital every time my Papa Joe was there and saying, "Is he better? Is he better? Like, what's going on? Why isn't he better? Like, let's pray. Let's make him better. Like, why isn't he better?" Instead of saying, "Hey, God, it's your will. If it's your time to take him, take him. Because I know I'm going to see him again." And I realized that when my granddad said, "I'm leaving in Thanksgiving, by Thanksgiving," it wasn't that I'll never see you again. It's that you won't see me down here for a while after Thanksgiving, but I'm going to see you again one day, because I know where I'm going. And I know you know where you're going. And I want you to always look to Jesus. And so today, I just want to remind you, Psalm 147:3 is this: "He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds." So if you are praying for a miracle today, if you are praying for healing, don't forget who you are as a miracle yourself. You're a miracle. We did it last week, 400 trillion to one chance that you're even on this earth. And yet God chose you. There's nothing that happens to you on this earth that will prevent you from seeing him. There's nothing that you could ever do that will stop him from loving you. But if you're looking for healing today, know that you're not in control. Ask God for help through it and accept his will. Because if there's a God of the universe who can change it and chooses to, amen. If there's a God of the universe who can change it and chooses not to, amen. Because you know what? He chose to love me enough to send his son to die on a cross for my sin so that I can have life and have life eternal. And you know what? That's enough. That's enough for me. The question is it enough for you? So as we get down to this, maybe this healing that you're praying for in your life is, you can't really experience healing because you've been searching for it in the world. You've been searching for it in religion. You've been searching for it in reading your Bible all the time, or you've been searching for it in getting the right friends or cleaning your life up. And I want to tell you, it's not going to work. It'll give you a temporary bump. All of a sudden, you'll sink right back in. And then all of a sudden, you'll get a little temporary bump because you'll try something new. You know, it's like changing diets and changing plans. You'll try something new. You'll get a little schedule going, and then something will break the schedule. It'll change. And you'll be worse off than you were before. Just like those demons trying to dwell in you, right? You're going to be worse off than you were before. But when you have Jesus in your life, there's nothing. Nothing that'll stop you. No matter what you go through, no matter circumstance, no matter what trials you walk through, no matter what difficulties you walk through, your hope is in Christ, in Christ crucified, in Christ alone, not in anything this world can give. And so today, maybe you're praying for healing, and the reason you can't experience it is because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've never really seen him as your Savior. You maybe only seen him as an angel in the outfield, as a genie in a bottle. Maybe that's what you've experienced, or that's what you expect of him. And I just want to break you free from that today. So as we worship, I want you to ask, who is Jesus to you? So I'm about to pray, and we're going to worship, and I'll be back up here to talk about who Jesus is to me and how you can step out of religion and into a relationship and actually experience true healing. It's not just physical, but eternal. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day today. Thank you for this opportunity to lift your name high. As we get ready here to just worship you and praise your name, I pray that you would just let us see who you are. Let us know who you are. Let us experience who you are. More importantly, let us see that our healing is found in you and you alone. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. Nothing else that will bind the brokenhearted, that will heal the wounds, except you, Jesus. So as we're in this moment and we're praying to you, Jesus, I pray that you would reveal yourself like never before, that we would see that you are who you say you are. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. If everyone will stand and worship.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Rich in love and your soul to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Thank you. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name.
So as we wrap up today, I wonder if you could say that you could worship his holy name. Because that day is going to come. And when our strength is failing, who do we turn to? If you have a relationship with Jesus, you know where to turn to. But maybe, this Jesus is who he says he is. And maybe now is your chance to make that happen. And so as we get ready, everybody in this house is going to be bowing their heads and praying with you. Maybe you're watching online and you're in a coffee shop. And you're just trying to figure out, you're in a coffee shop trying to figure out your finances, trying to figure out your next meeting, trying to figure out the next career move, hoping that that will bring you satisfaction and healing. Maybe you're on a speed dating challenge. Maybe you're somewhere where you're trying to figure out your next meal. Maybe you're at the grocery store hoping that if you change your meal plan that you can experience healing for the first time. And I want to tell you, you won't find it in any of that. You can only find it in Jesus. The only time that your expectation and your experience in this life and the peace that you can have through this life can change is by Christ and Christ alone. And here's the thing. All of us have this thing in common, and it's called sin. And because of that sin, all of us need healing from it. And the only way that we can experience healing from the death that is sin is through Christ and Christ Jesus. Because here's what happened. He came and lived the perfect life that we could never live. Died the death that we deserve because of our sins on the cross. Loved us enough not to stay dead. There's an empty tomb so that we can have hope throughout this life and know what to look to. All because he loved us. All because it's more than just a diet plan, a career move, a relationship change, a child being born. He loved us enough to give us life. And so that may be what you're searching for. And if you will say right now with every head bowed and every eye closed that maybe you need to make that choice today. Maybe today is your opportunity. Maybe there is a purpose you're here. Maybe the healing you're searching for can be found right here at the very end. And it's Jesus. And you say, how can I have a relationship with him? And there's simply this. Faith that he is who he says he is. Nothing more. Nothing less. We're going to pray a prayer right here, and everyone in this house is going to be praying it with you. But here's the thing, it's not the words of this prayer, it's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is that will lead you to salvation. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you lived the life that I could not live, died the death for my sin that I deserve, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're watching online, there's a way to respond, or maybe you're in the house and there's a way to respond. If that's the first time that you can say with faith that you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to respond. If you're watching online, click the hand raise button. If you're watching on Facebook, comment below. We want to celebrate with you. One, two, three. If that's you today and you have for the first time received by faith Jesus being your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to respond, because we want to celebrate with you. We want to celebrate life change happening inside of you. We want to celebrate the hope that you now have, the peace that you now have. We want to walk step by step with you through this. So if that's you, please, please, please don't let today go by without letting us know, because we want to celebrate that with you. And for everyone else in the house, if it's we're about to lock it up and pray, so if you want to go ahead and move and get your arm around somebody, and we're going to lock it up and pray for some healing. I know some folks and everyone here are moving. You're going to see some heads crossing the screens probably. As we get to the end of this thing today, I just want to ask you, if you need to talk to someone or you need to pray with somebody, or maybe it's your first time here, we'd love to just hang out with you in the garden. We'd love to get your info. Love to just share with you what Jesus is doing in our life and learn what Jesus is doing in your life and walk with you step by step through that. So as we get ready to pray here at the end, we can't wait to see you back here next week. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the healing that you give us. That's more than just a genie in a bottle healing. It's actually life from the death of sin. You have given us life, Jesus. We deserve nothing but death. And Jesus, no matter what this world throws at us, because of your love and because you have made a way to give us life, Jesus, the circumstances that we walk through seem so small. But we also know sometimes as a Christian, we can struggle if we don't see you move. And so Jesus, I just pray today that each and every one of us would know that we're not in control of this, would ask you for help, and would accept your will, whatever it may be. Because you are still God, and you are still good, and there is something that you have for us that's greater than what we think we need. So Jesus, I pray today, wherever we need healing in our life, that we would lay it at your feet, but know that there are people here that want to walk step by step with us through it. We love you, Jesus. We can't wait to continue next week this awesome series called When Pigs Fly. And man, it's going to be a great time. So thank you, Jesus, for this day. I pray that we'd have an awesome week. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, come join us next week. We'll be here with When Pigs Fly. We can't wait to see you. Hope you have a great and awesome week.